He asked me to read some scripture while I was up here, so let's go ahead and take care of that. Today we've got Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God, the Lord is one. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Amen. Good job, my friend. So I spent the first couple days of the week at a Christian Missionary Alliance District Conference up in New Smyrna, so the Edgewater Alliance Church, and just want to report that things are awesome. God's doing amazing things. The Alliance has over 100 and some odd churches within the state of Florida, multiple languages and multiple styles. And we have within the state of Florida dozens of international workers that are working in some of the most remote places in the world. So we're doing some good things here. And at that conference, we ordained 5 new ministers into the ministry of the gospel. And Jeff would be one of those guys right there. That was pretty exciting. They gave me a 25 years plaque as well, so I've been serving with the Alliance for 25 years. Yeah. This is what 25 years in the ministry looks like. Man. Just see the grays. Yeah, the wrinkles are starting to get there. Yeah, just giving you. So our scripture is kind of our theme this week is the Trinity. The Trinity. And our scriptures kind of allude to the Trinity, but the fact of the matter is, within any Gideon's Bible, you will never find the word Trinity. It's not a scriptural word. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but it is a description. The Trinity is alluded to, it's suggested, it's apparent, but it never really just flat out says it. Those that have eyes will see. There are things within the scripture that are kind of just a given. They're without an explanation, they're without description, and they're without clarity. Like the very first passage in the scripture. Genesis 1. Who can quote to me Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God, right? In the beginning, God. Just a beautiful assumption that you believe there is a God. Not a description, no explanation, just a, in the beginning, God. That's how wonderful it is. That's how mysterious it is. The Trinity is kind of like that in that it exists, but the Trinity describes God. So trying to describe the Trinity is trying to like define and describe God. It's like trying to define love. And if God is love, see the broad definitions that race through your mind. I placed the Alliance logo up here because it's the very first statement of belief for the Christian Missionary Alliance. Within the Alliance Fellowship, we adhere to the statement. It's the first statement, and here's your slide. There is one God who is infinitely perfect, existing eternally in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that is not scripture. Yet the statement is supported by scripture. The statement is based on scripture. And our soap passages allude to it and describe it. Thank you for reading some of our scriptures there. I appreciate that. The Christian doctrine of the Trinity defines God as 3 persons, just like it states there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The 3 persons are distinct, yet exist in unity. They are co-equal and co-eternal. The 3 persons of the Trinity are of one being. kind of like saying, well, I know this one person, but they got multiple personalities. Days. Same person, other personalities. See, listen. Yeah, see, I used to be schizophrenic, but we're okay now. God is not schizophrenic. And my wife does not have multiple personalities. The reality concerning the things like the Trinity is that churches still discuss this. Church still debates this. This one simple, though complex, truth. This one simple, yet mysterious, truth. Churches split over these kind of ideals and this kind of talk and this kind of truth to the understanding. And in a world where identity is questioned, truth can be very fluid. Spiritual confusion is everywhere. Knowing the God you belong to, the God you worship, the God you pray to, has never been more important. The God of the universe is not just an idea to believe in. He is a Trinity to encounter. The fullness of God. I hope that's what you get today, is an understanding of the fullness of God. And you come to appreciate and understand the fullness of God. If we're going to encounter this Trinity, not just as a concept, but as a living God, we're going to have to start with a statement that's pretty simple. The Trinity matters. And the Trinity might matter more than you think it does. But the Trinity matters. Not in your debates and your arguments and your discussion. The Trinity matters in how you relate to God. Because the Trinity doesn't just describe God. It really shapes how we relate to Him. The Trinity touches everything in relationship to God. How we pray, how we worship, how we understand salvation, how we walk in peace and grace and harmony, how we understand our purpose and our calling, how we discern scriptures. And if you do not grab hold or have a good understanding of this, you can flounder in your faith and you will waver in your own testimony. And if you choose to ignore it or distort it, our spiritual foundations can quickly shift. And shift happens. And if you view the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as three separate gods, you'll end up ranking them in your own mind. Or you end up choosing one that you're most comfortable with. Maybe you love this Jesus, but you avoid the Holy Spirit of God because you think He's weird and He does bizarre things. Or maybe you see the Father as distant, far away, as angry, as the judge. Oh, but this Jesus is so gentle and so kind. When you start to do this, you're not relating to God as He actually is. You're relating to a version of God that's in your mind that you feel safe around. Or that you feel comfortable with. And that's the danger. That's the danger. Misunderstanding the triune God, favoring one characteristic over another. I love me some Jesus, but I don't really like the Father. You've missed it. You've entirely missed it. Because you end up worshiping not the God of the Scriptures, but a God of your own making. A God of your own choosing. The struggle in the early church had a difficulty as well, trying to define exactly what they believe in. Some said Jesus was just a man. And so they would decline His divinity altogether. He was divine, but He was not equal to God. And some said the Spirit is entirely separate from all of them. The Spirit is just an intense force that manifests itself upon people. Or the Spirit has nothing to do with God at all. It's our free will. It's our consciousness that moves us. The false doctrines and the misunderstandings continue to this day. We live in a culture of spiritual buffet lines where people mix scripture with self-help. They take quotes and scripture way out of context. They will spiritualize the rotation of the stars and the planets. They pray to the creation and not to the creator. We need the real triune God more than ever. And we better know who this God of the scripture is, or we could fall and follow false teachings, false gods that will lead you straight to damnation. You call me Lord, Lord, away from me, I never knew you. Do you know this triune, full God? When you begin to understand the Father as creator, the Son as redeemer, the Spirit as our constant presence, you will stop chasing false peace. You will start walking in real power. And when you faithfully be your good, you will live victoriously. Our relationship with God is dynamic, it's relational, it's powerful, and it's personal. And it's for right now and for the hereafter. When does your eternity start? It's for the physical. It's for the spiritual. The Father loves you. The Son rescued you. And the Spirit empowers you. This is God. I hope you know Him. I hope you come to know all of Him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's a unity of God. There's your first one for those that like to take notes. There's a unity of God. Now listen, I did not say the God of unity. You might think about the unity that God brings us, that He unifies us, the body and the church, and God does all that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the unity of God. I'm talking about the triune God. And I recognize this is a very poor attempt to try to describe the indescribable, to try to define the indefinable, to try to explain the inexplainable. I recognize my inability to take the mystery out of the mystery. There needs to be mystery. The Trinity is considered a mystery of the Christian faith. It's very practical and very relational. And if I could explain it, there would be no mystery. Let's understand it maybe this way. Here's your next slide. Our God is not a riddle to be solved, but a mystery to adore. If you spend your life trying to figure out God, you've missed Him. We're trying to wrap our heads around, bring a little definition, if we could, to something that's beyond our human comprehension. And listen, this requires faith, and it requires trust exactly where God wants from us. Isn't that beautiful? Who hopes for what they already have? Who asks questions that they already know the answers to? If I could figure out my God, He wouldn't be a God. And listen, we're talking about a God beyond time, right? Past, present, future, beyond time. Has anybody in here figured out how to escape time? Die. That's about as close as you can get. Nobody's been able to. Our God is beyond this. A God beyond space, right? Height, width, and depth. A God beyond matter, solid, liquid, and gas. God is beyond these things. And we're stuck here. We're stuck in this time, in this space, and trying to understand this as the materialism of things. And according to our doctrine, God exists as three persons, but as one God. Meaning that God the Son has all the same nature and all the same attributes as the Father. And the Holy Spirit has all the same nature and all the same attributes as the Father and the Son. And the Father has all the same attributes and all the same characteristics as the Son and the Holy Spirit. Whatever spiritual attributes, supernatural attributes you want to apply to the God the Father, you apply to the Son. Whatever spiritual attributes and supernatural ways you want to apply to the Spirit, you have to apply to the Father. The Father is eternal, he's omnipotent, and he's infinitely wise. The Son is eternal, he's omnipotent, and he's infinitely wise. The Holy Spirit is eternal, omnipotent, and infinitely wise. The Lord is one. There is one God. There's not two, there's not three. There is only one true God. There are many false gods, and people would like to split God apart, make up into many different pieces. That's a dangerous theology. Honoring one even over another. Triune, the fullness of God, the completeness of God, and understanding the fullness of who you are in Christ. I suppose some would say that the Father can be God because there is one God. And if Jesus and the Holy Spirit were also God, then that makes them three gods, right? Father's a God, and the Son's a God, and that makes them three different gods. Now listen, I suppose that that kind of thinking, that kind of rationale would be correct if you referred and thought in mathematical terms. This is not mathematical terms. These are spiritual terms. And you're stuck in your physics. It's not a mathematical term. Add to this some of the other points of scripture, Hebrew words like one, echad, Adonai echad, this refers to a combined or unified God. This is the one God we worship, and the word that they use is a Godhead, like Elohim, multiple, plural. Let us make God, man in our image, right? This isn't too complicated to grasp. I know that, right? There's night and one day. There's light and darkness one day. They call it one day. We have two persons becoming one also in Scripture. A man leaves his father and becomes one flesh. Is that just sex? That's really all it is. You think it's more than just the physical? You think it's more than just the mathematical? You think it's more than just the functional? You think that there's something spiritual going on? Ephesians 5 gives the same meaning. A man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. After marriage, are husband and wife no longer two distinct people? Of course they're still two distinct people. They have not become mathematically one, but they are one. And many times we write legal contracts, and then we go, now they really are one, legally. There are two individuals who have become united and without losing their individuality. The point is this, the Lord is one God. But this does not mean that he is one person any more than a husband and a wife are more than one person, or only one person. And we try all the different methods. I bet some of you have probably even tried some of the methods in trying to define the Trinity, like an egg. The Trinity is like an egg. There's a yolk, and there's a white, and there's a shell, and the three are one. They form one egg. And right, one of my more favorites would be the H2O, right? H2O, they come in three different forms. It's, you know, it's a solid in that it's ice, or it's steam and it's a gas, or you can drink it like a liquid, but and it's water. So, but either way, it's H2O, but it's in a different form. God in a different form. many of us even believe and speak about and concerning, that the branches of the United States of America's government were founded on a threefold. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, we need three branches of government. This is how God moves. This is how God works. So we have the legislative branch, we have the executive branch, and we have the judicial branch. We have three that make up one government. And if you think that's not a mystery to behold, try explaining that. These are simply man's desperate attempt to try to explain or bring about a parable. The Trinity is like, see how it's, the Trinity is like, and then you try to describe something that's indescribable. You try to explain something that's unexplainable. You try to bring into the physical that which is spiritual. Yet man is stuck. We're stuck in this place. We're stuck in this past, present, and future. We're stuck in this solid liquid gas. We're stuck in this height and width and depth. And, you know, some people have more width than others. Listen, some have more depth. I get it. I get the need to try to explain it and express it. And people ask me, and I've tried countless times, right? We need some of the logical, mathematical kind of parable to kind of get some of it. But we cannot explain him. And are you ready? Are you ready? That's okay. It's okay. In the beginning, God. No explanations, no descriptions, just is. And that's okay. That's okay. No one can explain the duck-billed platypus either. It's okay. It's way outside the theory of evolution. Scientists can't explain the retrograde rotation of the planets either, because it's way outside of the theory of the Big Bang. But that's okay. It's okay. Some think they got it all figured out. We know less than 1% of what can be known. And we think we know something. Whew. The mystery is supposed to be there. I don't understand how a 30-ton steel plane can fly 30,000 feet in the air, but I still fly. I don't necessarily understand how a ship as big as four hotels can float, but I'd love to get on a cruise ship. I don't understand everything there is to know about God, but I trust him enough to follow him, which is all he wants. I have enough faith in him that he would draw me. That's all he desires. And then there's a diversity of God. That's your next one. The substance and operation of the three persons within the divine are marked by a very definitive directive. Attributes that seem very distinguishing to the Spirit. Actions that seem very distinguishing to the Son. Actions that seem very distinguished to the Father. Like the Father plans salvation, the Son accomplishes salvation, and the Spirit applies salvation to our lives. God at work for you. And this is not theoretical. It's practical. It's personal. This is God. When you pray and when you worship, the Holy Spirit of God is stirring in your heart to adore the Son, and the Son reveals the love of the Father. When you read the very Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, the Scripture centered on Christ, Christ discloses the will of the Father. Melinda and I are one, not mathematically, spiritually. And yet she's very different than I am. We can view that in a physical context, very different, which is one of the reasons why I actually like her, that she's physically different than I am. But we're different in other ways as well. She likes Mexican, I like Chinese. She wants to build puzzles, I want to go snorkel. She plays Sudoku, I play the guitar. She can sing on key, I make a joyful noise. distinctly different, yet one. Distinctly different, yet one. And I've told countless people that are getting married, aren't we opposites? No, you complement each other. You complement each other. So popular descriptions among Christians divides the work of God, the creation to the Father, redemption to the Son, and regeneration, transformation to the Holy Spirit of God. Scripture shows that each one works in harmony with the other to fulfill the plans of God. Melinda and I need to work in harmony to fulfill the complete plans of God that He has for our lives, our one life together. See, this is why marriage is more than a simple legal contract. It is that, but it's so much more than that. It's not just civil, it's sacred. It's clear that the Father sent His Son, John 3:17. God did not send His Son to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. And the Son clears the way for the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus says, I must go that the Holy Spirit will come. They're all working in tandem. They're all working together. God working for you. While the Lord our God is one, we see that there are distinct in function and in person. They are perfect in unity, perfect in application, perfect in work, perfect in ministry. They're perfect in their harmony. Who can know the thoughts of God but God? My one car has many parts, but it does not always run perfectly. Melinda and I are one. We're not always perfect. The church, one body, many parts, not always perfect. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, operating perfectly, in harmony, in unity. You can trust Him. You can place your faith in Him. He will work out His plan and His purpose. Matthew 5 said it very. Son and the Holy Spirit are in divine. They're in this divine perfect dance together. A divine mystery, if you will. Perfectly in tune and perfectly aligned in timing. And you've been invited. You've been invited into that wonderful, mysterious dance of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've been invited by God. Let me say it this way. Your next slide. See, God did not come to walk with you, but that you might walk with Him. Do you catch the subtlety? Maybe this is where we lose the connection. Maybe you've been invited to participate in His divine plan. You've been invited to walk in His ways and His ways of thinking and His ways of understanding. And you're trying to convince Him about your ways and your understanding and the way things that you want them to be. See, God has invited you into His ways and into His plans to leave behind yourself and to form something new, a new birth, a new creation, a new way of living. He's not joining you on your trip to damnation. He's not joining you in your trip around the world. He's not joining you in your steps to stumble through sin. He's not joining you in that. He is asking you to join Him in His plan, in His purposes. He's inviting you into a new life, a new way, and a new direction. This is God. This is what God does for you. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the Great Commission. Listen, not the great suggestion. This is the Great Commission. We have been given instructions on what to do. He invites you in, and this is what we're going to do. What he desires to be accomplished in you and through you. He invites others into this wonderful dance of the triune God. This passage is even Jesus spoken, and it's evidence of the Trinity. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see people do that, right? Probably mostly Catholics. In the name of the Father, Son. You know what that is? That's a remembrance of your baptism. Do not be ashamed. It's a remembrance of what God has done for you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is magnificent, and his love is overwhelming, and his love is overpowering. And you also were included, this is out of Ephesians 1, you were also included in Christ. Isn't that nice? He invites you to be in Christ. You were invited in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Anybody in here filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Give me an amen. Amen. See, you're marked by the Holy Spirit of God because you believe the word of truth. You believe the gospel of salvation. And this Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. God's possession. Amazing. The work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of God. This is not my agenda. This is God's agenda. And maybe it's just me, but these are the kind of things that I get kind of excited about. When you see the fullness of God laid out, watching God do amazing things way beyond man's comprehension. I enjoy teaching in the ministry or in the mystery of God, in the Holy Spirit of God. The scriptures come alive. I have no idea what's going to happen, and I love it. In the beginning, God, trust, faith, God has us. God is working in us. God is doing amazing things right here, right now. I've learned to walk in the unknown. To walk in the places that seem a little bit unfamiliar. And a little bit sometimes, is the Spirit really working here? Is this really what's happening? I've learned to preach in the depths of the mystery. I've learned to be comfortable around that which is uncomfortable. I've learned to be comfortable around the strange. Which is why I fit in here so well. God the Father loves us. God the Son dies for us. God the Spirit guides us. The Trinity is not three gods. The Trinity is not three manifestations. The Holy Spirit are not figments of God's imagination, the Father's imagination. Through it all, through all the mystery, through all the systematic theology, through all the terminology, we should desire to know this triune God. All of who he is. The God of the scriptures, not the God that you're so comfortable with and that you like hanging around, all of who he is. Don't miss all of what God has for you. I pray you learn to worship him fully, pray to him fully, honor him fully, believe in him fully. Because here's your last one. There's an intimacy of God. There's an intimacy of God. He invites you in, and it's personal. It's you. God sees to it that it's personal. He loves you, and you are as unique as your fingerprints and your DNA. There's no one else like you on the planet. God has seen to it. You can only do what God asks of you to do. There's no one else in the whole wide world that can have the relationship with God that you have. Will you do it? Will you have it? He loved us first. He loves us most, and he loves us still. God is love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The wonderful mystery of the divinity is that he desires to love you. I know me. It's amazing to me that he washes me clean. He still desires. And he desires to lead you. He desires to help you. He desires to fulfill you. You are the object of his affections. This is not about intimacy with God. I'm trying to explain it in a way that just kind of, this is his intimacy towards you. His desires to know you and to be involved in your life. He breaks off the chains that are offered to him. You can stand up, you can stay bound up, or you can be set free. You can stay questioning everything and debating everyone, or you can trust and believe and walk in faith. You can accept the love of God, or you can reject the love of God. You can accept that there is one true God, or you can regulate Jesus as just a good teacher. You can accept the one true God, or you can define the Holy Spirit as some omniscient force that's a consciousness of who you are. Today, it was dangerous for you to come here today. Because today, now, you've heard. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have to do something with what you've heard. You have to transform your mind into a deeper understanding and fix your heart on being comfortable with God, the triune God, all of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You have to be comfortable with the unknown and comfortable with the mystery. You have to be comfortable with all his love for you. God is the Father. God is the Son. God the Holy Spirit. It's okay if you don't understand everything. It's okay. Maybe this is all you need. Here's your last slide. There is one God, infinitely perfect, existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this day, we thank you that you reveal who you are, all of who you are. And Father, may we receive fully all of who you are. Father, forgive us. Forgive us if we've ranked somehow you. Forgive us, Father, that we've not seen you, if we've not seen you as fully and as complete as you are, as the scriptures demand. Father, wash us clean. Give us new eyes. Give us new ears that we might and understand the love that you have for us. And the way in which you work in us and through us. We yield ourselves to you this moment in this time. Have your way. Work among us. And may our lives, individually and collectively, serve you, honor you, and bring glory to God. We come before you, of course, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you guys.